My name is Alan Morse, and I'm going to talk to you today about a subject that I believe that is probably a subject that is the most important subject that we can talk about. And that is, why would people, are people, not everybody going to heaven today? Why do people, do they go to hell today? And the reason why, the number one reason why that they do is because of one thing and one thing only, and that's unbelief. Now make sure everybody gets their Bible open. And we're going to start in Genesis. We're going to be starting in Genesis chapter 2. Everybody get your Bibles open and also get you some pieces of paper that you can write these things down, because these things are very important. I want you to realize that the things I'm talking about have nothing to do with me. They're strictly, everything that I talk about and talk to you about is backed up totally by the Word of God. So, anyhow, we know ever since Adam and Eve, and the last person that will be on this earth, we're all going to be judged. And what we're going to be judged by is not our sins. We're going to be judged by, do we believe the gospel? Or we'll be judged by, because we'll go, if we go to hell, it'll be because of our unbelief. Our unbelief. We know that Adam and Eve walked on this earth perfectly, in a perfect state with God. Now, those are the only two people, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, that were perfectly holy. Because everybody since Adam and Eve, we have inherited an old sin nature that goes with us. And we also inherited a spirit that is not active. And so we have our arms tied behind our back to a great extent. But Adam and Eve didn't. They were perfect and they walked with God. It talked about that God would come down and walk with them early in the mornings. And they had tremendous communications. And of course, this was the Son of God that walked with them. The Father God couldn't do that because He was so powerful and so great, He could not even, man couldn't look upon Him whatsoever, or they'd die. But so the Son of Man was used to work, to walk with the Creator's creation. Adam and Eve walked on this earth in a perfect state, and they had no sin in them. But God set up some guidelines, and it was He had to do that. You see, God is searching out for a group of people that truly believe in Him. And the only way that God can know that He's going to truly believe in Him is He's going to test them. And He tested Adam and Eve. We find that we just looked at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 16. It says, And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but the tree of knowledge and good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in the day that thou eatest this, therefore, thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. So he made it really plain, everything else in the garden they could eat, but that those trees they could not eat of, because they would surely die. Well, we know as well as everything that they did eat of that fruit. Did they die? No, not right away they didn't, but their spirit died. Their spirit died, and when their spirit died, that means that they couldn't communicate with God like they did before. Their bodies, they lived. Their bodies eventually did die, but they lived for a long life. Adam lived for I think, over 900 years, almost as long as Methuselah. However, he didn't have the walk with God that he had before. And you see, when what happens is, and then his offspring, they were born with that same sin nature now that Adam had, and they were born with the spirit that really wasn't alive. And so they couldn't communicate with God. Nothing like they could have when Adam and Eve walked in the garden. And so what happened to Adam and Eve? Unbelief. They didn't believe God. Now, God tested them. He tested them with this tree, but he also tested them. He allowed the devil to come to them. And he did a good job on Eve. He did a good job on Eve. And, you know, that's what we're tested constantly. We're tested constantly. Believers are tested constantly. But the thing of it is, once we believe the gospel and that Holy Spirit comes into us, we can withstand Satan. We can turn our back on him because we have what's in us is way more powerful than the devil. So that's why it's so important to believe the gospel for your salvation, because you get the Holy Spirit and then you can withstand the devil. And he is around here all the time. So we see that because of unbelief, that Adam and Eve, they showed their true colors. They showed that they didn't believe God. Every person from now on is born with a sin nature, like I said. And from then on, this is passed down. You see, we don't sin. If we sin, we don't make us sinners. We're sinners, and that's why we sin. It's just, we're born sinners. Your child, as a baby, is beautiful and cute and lovable, but it's a little sin nature problem right off the bat. You know that. They have a temper, they get upset, and you watch them grow up, and they'll be I, and everything is built around them. And today, we have generations of children that they think of no one but themselves, and that they can't help it. That's their old sin nature that's in them, and the only way that can be taken care of, the only way, is to believe the gospel. God has continued his work through on through, and we'll see it when he dealt with Cain and Abel. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Just turn the page, and we'll see what happened there. And look at verse 1. It says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord, and again bore his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground." So we see that Cain and Abel were born to Adam and Eve, and they had a sin nature. And God told Adam, and he probably told directly to Cain and Abel, he told them that he expected to have an offering once a year, that they would bring a live animal, and they would have to kill that animal, and the blood of that would be put on an altar, and it would be burned, and it would be an offering to God. And he was trying to show them how horrible sin really is. Something had to die. And, you know, they used a cute little lamb. You know, how in the world, you know, would we want to kill something like that? Well, that's true. But you see, that was what God said to do, and that's what they were supposed to do. And we find that Abel did that, but Cain brought another offering. He brought an offering of grain offering, because he was a grain farmer. He was doing what he wanted to do. He didn't believe God. He didn't believe God. Cain did. He did exactly what God told him to do. And then we can go to Noah. Just turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 9. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and a perfect. In his generation, Noah walked with God." Noah walked with God. And during this time, for 1,800 years, everybody had turned away from God. They were supposed to have these sin offerings once a year. They didn't do it. They did their own thing. They became evil. It said in their hearts and their minds were evil consistently. They were murderers. They were killers. They were horrible people. And God looked at them, and they could only find one just family, and that was Noah and his three sons and their wives, out of probably millions of people. and God repented of the fact that He brought these people into earth. And you know that Noah walked with God, and God tested him. What did He tell him he had to do? He told him that they had to build this ark. Can you imagine? It took him 100 years working, who knows how long per day, to build this ark. And it was right out in the middle of nowhere near a lake or a stream or anything. It was just on regular bare land. And the people ridiculed him. He just kept doing exactly what God told him to do. Noah believed God. And he believed God to righteousness. And that's the reason why that God saved him. Because he was a righteous person and he believed God. And then we go to Genesis chapter 12. And guess we run into Abraham. And Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of that country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show you, and I'll make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thee a great name, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse you. And in these families shall all families of the earth be blessed." This was the Abrahamic covenant. And Abraham was a total idolater. I mean, his family, they didn't know anything but idol worship. But when God came to him and told him to go and do what he's told him to do, he did it. He did it. And he became just exactly what God said. He was going to bring out a total new nation. And this nation was to be called Israelis, or a Jewish nation. This is the start of the Jewish nation. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And we know that Jacob became Israel. And Israel, he had 12 sons. Their sons were the 12 names of the 12 tribes of Israel. This is the great nation. This is the Jewish nation, the Hebrew nation, the nation that God has called out. And it all started with Abraham, and it's because he believed God. And because he believed God, he was justified. He was justified because he believed God. And he proved it. He tested him. He told him after he waited 50 years, he was over 100 years old when Isaac was born. And when he was a teenager, God told him to take him up into the mountains. Take him up into the mountains and build an altar and offer your son that you love as a sacrifice to me. He took that son. He did exactly what he told him. He built an altar. He put Isaac on that altar. And he raised his knife to kill him. And God stopped him. He did it because he believed God. And that's what we're supposed to do, you see. That's why we believe the gospel, because God is the one that told us to. It came from the Lord Jesus Christ himself that told us, and he told Paul to preach this gospel, and if anybody preaches anything other than that gospel, he said, let them be accursed. You see, the people that are preaching anything other than the gospel are showing they don't believe God. They're doing their own thing. They don't believe God, and they will suffer for that for eternity. It's so important that we believe God. So we see from Isaac to Jacob to Joseph to Moses, they were all counted. They were all counted righteous because they believed God. Now when we get to studying Jesus' earthly ministry, and we see the same. You see, the Jews, Jesus came down on this earth. He came down on this earth for one primary reason, was that he was going to fulfill the scriptures of the Old Testament, the prophecies of the Old Testament of the Messiah. And he also came down because he was going to fulfill the covenant promises that he gave to Abraham. that he was going to set up a kingdom, and he was going to be the king, and Israel was going to be the head nation. And he came directly and only to the lost sheep of Israel. And they totally were filled with unbelief. Not only did they not believe Jesus, and it's hard to even comprehend, Jesus fulfilled everything. I mean, there was over 200 scriptures that he fulfilled. It's just for the Messiah alone. And of course, we know he fulfilled the Abrahamic covenant. He was going to do that. And he could have done that. But he was born of a virgin. 700 years ago, it told about it. Isaiah said about it. And it said he was born in Bethlehem. And he was also was a person who came out of Egypt. You remember when he was 2 years old, they had to take him out of Egypt, take him to Egypt to be away from Herod, because Herod was going to kill all those young children. And then when he came back to Nazareth, it tells us, and this is 700 years ago or more, telling exactly, forecasting what Jesus was going to do on this earth. And of course, it went all the way through. He was going to be crucified. He was going to be buried in a tomb that was, and that he was would rise from the dead. And it talked about the 30 pieces of silver. It talked about when he was going to go there. He talked everything about him and how he had to suffer beyond anything. And Isaiah 52 and 53 tells about his suffering, and he fulfilled all those things, every one of those things. And so, but what happened? What happened? Well, we know that they totally rejected him. And we find out not only did they reject him, have unbelief in the Christ, they crucified him. They crucified him. Let's see what happened to Israel. Let's see why did they do these things and what happened to them afterwards. Let's look, turn to Romans. Get in your Bibles, and we're going to clear back to the right. We're going to go clear back to the right all the way through the Old Testament, and we're going to get in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then Acts, and then Romans. Romans follows Acts. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 11. And we're going to look at verses 7 and 8. Romans 11, verses 7 and 8. It says, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded, according to as it is written, God hath given them a spirit of slumber, eyes that should not have seen, and ears that should not hear, until this day." Well, when this is written, but now 2,000 years from now, it's exactly the same thing. Nothing's changed. The Jews have totally turned their back on Christ, as far as that's concerned. Now, let's look what it says in Romans chapter 11, 25. Just turn the page. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. It says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of the mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that the blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in." Until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. In other words, that they are continually will be blinded until the fullness of the Gentiles. This is the church. Until the church that Paul called out, that Jesus called out through Paul, until that church is totally filled and that church is taken out. And that's what we call the rapture. This church will eventually be taken out to be with the Lord, and then God will deal then with the Jewish. The Jewish nation is not over with. God's going to deal with them, and they're going to come back. But they won't do it until the church is gone. And so that's why we think we're a lot closer now than they were when this was written, for sure. but it's going to happen. And one of these days, God's going to take His church out here, and then He's going to deal with all the people that have unbelief, and that includes the Jew. Totally unbelief. And so we see that Israel, because of their unbelief, they were totally set aside. And we know that exactly happened because we know that in 70 AD, Titus, a general, Roman general, came in and totally destroyed Jerusalem. Totally destroyed it. And they killed over 1 million Jews, history says. And they captured thousands. And millions of them were scattered from all over every nation in the world. And they had been totally set aside. And this is why the church was put together. And that's why that now he's dealing with the church. He's dealing mainly with Gentiles. There are some Jews that believe the gospel, but very, very few. Very, very few. And as far as the regular Jews, they have never yet accepted Christ as the Messiah. You won't find a synagogue being preached anywhere that teach anywhere that Christ was the Messiah. Now let's turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1:11. Turn to the right. Corinthians and then Galatians, 1 and 2 Corinthians 1:11. Paul says, I make known unto you, brethren. This is Galatians chapter 1, verses 11. I make known unto you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man. But neither I received it from man, neither was I taught it, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. It came directly from Jesus Christ. And now it's up to the church to believe Jesus. So we won't be dealing with unbelief. We believe what Jesus tells us. And this gospel is what Christ told us to believe, that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose from the dead. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We've got to look at it. We go back to the left, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is tremendously important. And we're going to go through it fairly fast because our time's running out. It says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Not a gospel, it is the gospel. This is the gospel for your salvation. If you believe this gospel, you will be saved. It says, And that I preached unto you, which also you have received, and by which you stand. This is the gospel that this church was already preached, and they believed it, and they stood on it. And also, by which also you are saved. If you want to know for sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die, this is it. If you believe this gospel, I'm going to tell you in just a second, you will be saved. And he said, however, you have to keep it in memory that I preached unto you unless you believed in vain. Unless you've believed in vain. In other words, this isn't a head knowledge. I had a head knowledge for years that of the gospel, but I didn't believe it for my salvation. But I do now. And because I did, I was given the Holy Spirit. It's fantastic. For I deliver unto you first of all, which I also received. We just saw he received this from the Jesus himself. That Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. That's the gospel. You see, salvation isn't believing in Jesus. It's believing what he did. Because if he hadn't died on that cross for us to pay for our sins, we'd still be in our sins and there'd be nothing we could do about it whatsoever. It took the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was perfect, who was God himself. And God himself had to die on that cross because he was the only perfect person that could do it. And he did it. And because he did it, we have salvation if we believe he did it. You see, we're believers. We're believers. We're not going to be worried about unbelief. We believe God, and that's what salvation is. Totally. Now let's go to Romans. Go to Romans chapter 2. Go to your left. Go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and in verse 16. Romans 2:16, and it says, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ." When is that going to be? When does He judge the secrets of man? It's the great white throne judgment. This will take place at the end of the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ when He comes back on this earth. And after that, all the people, every non-believer that was born from Adam all the way to the last person on this earth will be resurrected, and they will go to the great white throne judgment. Only non-believers will go there. There will be no believers there. And God is going to judge each and every one of these people. And they're going to stand before Him. And they're going to stand before Him, and He's going to show them why they're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And what does it say right here? What are they going to be judged by? It'll be judged according to Paul's gospel. Preachers, if you haven't seen this before, look at it. Because if you're not preaching the gospel for salvation, you're going to be in that line standing there, and you're going to be judged by this, by Paul's gospel. And it's just hard to even comprehend. These people were going to walk up there, and they're not going to be judged by their sins. You see, their sins have been totally covered. The sin question is over with in this world, as far as God is concerned. All the world is full of sin, but Jesus paid for every sin that was committed on this earth, even for the Hitlers and the Mussolinis, the Pol Pots in Vietnam, and all the murderers, the killers, the liars, the dopers, the alcoholics, every sin that people have committed, He has paid for them. And when they stand at this judgment seat, the great white throne judgment, when they stand there, they will be looking at the gospel. And that's why they didn't believe the gospel. They didn't believe the gospel. Unbelief is what sent them to hell. Let us pray. Dear Father, I just pray that You open the minds of every person that listens to these words, that they would receive the gospel for their salvation, and that they would have total belief and not be caught in unbelief. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.